The second parak continues with the concept that melacha, by default, it is prohibited on Chol HaMoed, but one of the exceptions to the rule is davar ha'avit, to avoid a financial loss. We permit melacha to be done on Chol HaMoed. And our situation in Mishnah Aleph is that somebody has a olive press, and he's in the olive business, or he does it professionally or non-professionally, but for financial gain, apparently, and he's going through the process. He has olives, and the process is that you put it first into a large vat to soften them up, and once they are softened, you turn them over on the other side, and then you have to fairly quickly start the pressing of those olives in order to get the olive oil out. Pressing was done by putting on these large beams on top of them to press out the oil, and you do that once and twice and three times, however long it took to get the oil out. The first time is the most important, gets the most of the olive oil out, but you will continue that process, squeezing out the oil and then proceeding to barrel the oil and to seal up those barrels. So the Mishnah says as follows, Misha hafach et zeisav, somebody who turned the olives oil, the olives over, and he wants to get into the pressing process fairly quickly, otherwise he will have a loss of those olives. The iro evil, something happened that he was not able to complete that process before Yontif started. For example, evil is a close relative passed away, and he was mourning for the relative that went into Yontif, so he wasn't able to complete the pressing process of the olive oil. Or onus, or some other accident, something out of his control happened, his machinery broke, electricity was out for a significant outage and wasn't able to use the machinery. The onus, something beyond his control. Or number three, sheet uhu poalim, or his workers, they defrauded him. They went on strike, for example, right when he needed them coming into the Yontif. And for any of those reasons or other similar reasons, he was not able to go straight into the pressing process of the olives. And now he's at risk of losing all of them because he's already turned them over. So he has to go quickly and do something with this. Accordingly, if he doesn't act on Chol HaMoed, there will be a large financial loss. Toin kora rishona umanicha la'achar hamoed divrei Rabbi Yehuda, is permitted to take the kora rishona, which is the beam that he will use to press those olives, and he can put it on and squeeze out the olives, but only one time, because once you start that process of squeezing out the olive oil, he will no longer incur a financial loss, and he leaves the rest until after the Chag. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can start, but you can't finish, because you've avoided the loss. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he takes a different view. He says that once we permit somebody to do malacha, to avoid a davar ha'avit, to avoid a financial loss, you're permitted to go through the entire process during Chol HaMoed. So Rabbi Yossi Omer Zolef, he is permitted to pour all of the olives that are in the process onto the press, Vigomer, and you can complete the entire pressing process of pressing out the olive oil from those olives. You can put the beam on once, twice, three times, just keep on going until you get all the oil out as you normally do, Vigaf, and you can seal up the barrels. Do everything kedarku, the normal way that you would. Once we have a heter of davar ha'avit, avoiding a financial loss, we can go all the way in avoiding the financial loss. In Mishnah Beis, we see the same concept, but not as it applies to olive oil and the squeezing of olives to get olive oil, but grapes and the squeezing of grapes to get wine. So Mishnah Beis says as follows, V'chein, similarly, Mishaya Yeno Besochabor, somebody has wine that is in the pit. In other words, they went to the wine press, they squeezed all the grapes, the grape juice all went down into the bor, goes into the well below, into the hole, the pit below, and it's sitting there and it's waiting to be processed and barreled as wine. And something happened that he wasn't able to complete that process before Yontif started, as he anticipated. For example, and we're going to see the same scenarios we saw in the prior Mishnah of Eru Evil, a close relative passed away, he was sitting mourning, or onus, or some other accident, something out of his control, or shitu poalim, and again, his workers defrauded him, so he wasn't able to put them to the task before Chol HaMoed, get them to work and do it. Accordingly, we're first going to see the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Zolef, Vigomer, Vigaf, Kedarko, Divi, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, just like we saw at the end of the prior Mishnah, this person is permitted to do all of the work necessary to get the wine into the barrels and seal up those barrels. So accordingly, it says, Hizolef, he can pour all of the wine, take it out of the pit where it's sitting, and put it all into barrels. V'gomer v'gaf, he can complete this process, seal it all up, kedarko, as he normally would. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yehuda, just like in the Pirate Misna, says, we can take you out of the financial loss, but you cannot complete the process as you normally would. You have to complete the process after the chagen. So Rabbi Yehuda omer, ose lo limudim, what you have to do, because you have all this juice, grape juice, down in the bore, in the well, is you cover it up with beams, with boards and beams, b'shil shelo yachmitz, in order to avoid that grape juice becoming vinegar and getting totally destroyed, and simply make sure that we're putting a band-aid on the situation so we're not going to incur the financial loss. And thereafter, after Cholamoid, after the Yontif, that is when you can complete all of the processing and the bottling process of that wine. Mishnah Gimel continues the concept of melacha being prohibited on Chol HaMoed unless it's a davar ha'avid, a financial loss. To avoid a financial loss, it's permitted. For example, the Mishnah says, Machnis Adam peirosav mipnei haganavim. Somebody has fruits out in the field, they're drying, or for whatever reason they're out there, and now there is a concern that arises during Chol HaMoed that they may be stolen. Or similarly, v'shole pishtana min hamishra, somebody is permitted to remove his flax that is soaking in water, that's part of the processing of the flax, so it shouldn't be lost. It came to a critical juncture that it had to be removed from the water. If it continued staying in the water, it would be destroyed. On the major condition, on the condition that he did not particularly intend to do this work on Chol HaMoed. He didn't put the flax in saying, on Chol HaMoed is my time that I'm going to be able to take this out. I'll have more time then. Or he left the fruits in the field before Yontif started and he was able to remove them there. And he said, let me push it off and do it on purpose on Chol HaMoed. It's easier for me then, more convenient. Then the Mishnah concludes, V'chulam im kivnu melachtan b'moed yovedu, in all of the situations that we have a davar ha'aved that is typically permitted to avoid a financial loss. But if that davar ha'aved, the melacha, could have been done before Yontif started and the person intentionally pushed it off to do it on Chol HaMoed, that asset has to be given away, has to be forfeited. What would happen is that the Beis Din would come in and declare the asset hefker, and anyone would be permitted to take it. So if somebody intentionally pushes off the malacha to Chol HaMoed, it's a bizayon, it's a disgrace to Chol HaMoed. Accordingly, that would be the knas, that would be the fine that the Beis Din would be mafker, would make hefker, ownerless, that property, making it open to anyone to take it. Mishnah Dalet moves on to discuss certain things that are prohibited on Chol HaMoed, even though they are not melachas. And we're going to start off the Mishnah by talking about buying and selling items that are not needed for Chol HaMoed or Yontif. So the Mishnah says as follows, in Lochim we don't purchase batim, houses, avadim, servants, ubehema, animals, ela letzorech hamoed, unless they are needed for the moed. In other words, you need a house to live in even during Chol HaMoed. You need a servant to help you during Chol HaMoed, behema, an animal to shach, to eat. Items that are necessary for Chol HaMoed, certainly buy and sell. If not, don't buy and sell them. There are exceptions to the rule. For example, there's a big sale and you can only buy during Chol HaMoed. That would be an example of it. You have a huge business deal, and unless you do it during Chol HaMoed, you're going to lose that opportunity. So those would be examples that would be permitted. But the default is only buy and sell items that are necessary for the Chag. Or even if you don't need it for the Chag, but the seller is desperate for money, he needs money to buy food for Yontif, for example, that would be permitted for the purchaser as well to enable that seller to monetize his assets so he has funds for the Chag. Continuing, other activities that are, strictly speaking, not malachas, but because it's a tircha yaseira, it's a huge exertion, it should be not done on Chol HaMoed. In mefani mebayis labayis, we cannot move things that we do not need for Chol HaMoed or Yontif, literally from house to house, but it's talking about houses that are on different courtyards. In other words, we should not be carrying things we don't need a distance from one place to another, because that's a tirach yaseiru. We shouldn't be exerting ourselves like that on Chol HaMoed. We should be focused on enjoying the Chag. But it's permitted to move items within the same courtyard. In other words, it's not that much of an exertion because you're not going too far, and it's also done in more of a tzina way, not such a public way, so that would be permitted. And now, continuing, if somebody left something to be fixed, for example, your microwave broke or something like that, and you brought it to the shop and it's being fixed, it's an item you don't need for Chol HaMoed, you can't pick it up on Chol HaMoed. So it says, Ein Mevin Kelim Mebeis HaUman, we cannot pick up items, kelim, that are being fixed in a Beis HaUman, which is in the professional that is fixing it. However, what if you're concerned it could be stolen if you just leave it there? It's ready. You get the call on Chol HaMoed, your whatever asset, whatever item is ready to be picked up, and you know it's in a bad neighborhood. There's been a break-in in stores around that area. Im choshes lem, if you're concerned that it could be stolen, if you don't pick it up quickly, mifanin lechatzar acheres, you can move it from the craftsman, pick it up, but don't bring it home. Literally, you can move it to a different courtyard. What it's referring to is put it in a courtyard in a place that is close to the craftsman. You shouldn't be schlepping it even into your chatz or into your area. But if you're concerned you don't have a safe place otherwise, other than your home, then it would be permitted to move it into your home. We're talking about an item you don't need on Yantif, on Chafer Chol HaMoed. It'd be permitted to move it in, but it has to be done in a quiet fashion so people don't think that you got that item fixed on Chol HaMoed. So that's the concern here. It's like a Maris Ayin concern. So if leave it in the craftsman's, if you can't leave it in the craftsman, you can certainly leave it close to there. If you really have no place, you can bring it home, but do it in a very quiet fashion to avoid the Maris Ayin concern. Mishnah Hey continues the concept of melacha that's permitted because it's a davar ha'aven. Mechapin es haktzios bekash. It's permitted to cover up if we have cut figs that are out in the field and we're concerned that rain is going to destroy them. We can cover them up bekash with straw in order to protect them somewhat, even though that is an effort. But nonetheless, it is permitted to do to avoid the davar ha'avid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af me'abin. Rabbi Yehuda is even more makel. He's of the view that you can even pile them up, and the top figs will protect the ones on the bottom. That takes a lot more effort. It would be a tircha yaseira. But Rabbi Yehuda says that to avoid the davar ha'avid, to avoid the financial loss, it would be permitted. Now we're going to get back to those selling items that are necessary for Chol HaMoed, for Yontem, Mochre, Perustol, who sell produce, fruits and vegetables, kasus, clothing, mekalim, various utensils and vessels that are necessary for the Chag. Despite that, Mochrin Bitsina Letzorach HaMoed, should still do it in a quiet fashion. Don't put your advertisements outside the store. Don't put your wares outside the store. It should be done in a private way. And obviously, Letzorach HaMoed, we're only selling things that would be necessary for people to use during Chol HaMoed. And continuing in that vein, Hatzayadim, those who trap things, they are trappers. Vadasha Shot, those who pound grains professionally. Vagara Shot, those who grind beans professionally. If you can imagine, in the olden days, not everything was bought off the shelf and ready to go with everything ground up and cleaned, and just you put it into a pot, but you had to have your grain, it had to be pounded, you had to have your beans, they were in different forms, so you had to be pounded up. You're not able to use kernels to bake challah. You need it in a flour form. So those were all things that were letzorech hamoed. But the concern here is because these items were typically done in mass. They would do large volumes at a time. If people saw that they were working on Chol HaMoed, people would think that they are doing also for after Chol HaMoed because they do such volumes at a time. So accordingly, those are malachas, letzorach hamoed, if it's needed for the moed, it's permitted. Nonetheless, osin betzina letzorach hamoed, do it in a quiet fashion so people don't think you are doing it. These professionals who are doing this work, don't do it in a way that people will easily find out about it. Do it betzina privately, not in a public fashion, and only letzorach hamoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, despite that, hemichmiru al atzman, the people in these trades, they were machmir on themselves, that even in private they wouldn't do it. They said, it's Chol HaMoed, we're not doing this type of work. We don't need people to think that we're working on Chol HaMoed. Accordingly, they did not do it at all, even during Chol HaMoed.